My name is Meg. I am one of the pastors here, along with my husband Josh, and I get to share with you this morning in the final part of our Come and See series. And this series has been all about evangelism. We believe as a people of God, if we are believers, that we should go out and share the message that we have with our neighbor, whoever your neighbor is to you. And we've heard some amazing stories of how God has been moving, haven't we? We've heard really quite incredible miracles of emotional healing and breakthrough and people finding God in unlikely spaces. I wonder if you know, if you are so aware this morning that you are in a community where God is always moving. Even when you can't see it, even if you are in a situation where you don't feel like you're seeing much at the moment, your brother or your sister is experiencing God, and there's so much that God is doing in our community. What a privilege to be a part of. And so I actually want to start with another story this morning. And so bear with me, because it's a little longer, but I want to tell you another testimony, another story of God moving that's going to set us up for what God is wanting to speak into us for our final week of Come and See, ahead of next week, our spring surge, where we're hoping to see so many people come to know the living God. And so I want to tell you this story this morning. In 1993, a young girl named Jess was born to Christian parents who loved her deeply and grew her up in the Christian faith. She was the oldest of three sisters, and though her life wasn't perfect, she grew up in a strong and stable Christian home. In 2004, at 12 years old, she was so passionate about seeing other people come to know Christ that instead of posters of bands or celebrities adorning her walls, I don't know if teenagers now do this. Teenagers back in 2004 did this. We had posters of bands on the wall. It almost seems a bit weird now, a little bit like, you know, setting up an idol, but we did it. We did it because that's what we did before the internet was as big as it is now. So anyway, instead of the usual bands and the usual celebrities up on the wall, she instead had pictures of a traveling evangelist who had seen many, many people come to know Christ. And he wasn't up there for his good looks. He was up there because she was so inspired by how this man had seen thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to know Christ. And that same passion lived in her. She loved God deeply and had a dream to share the gospel all over the world. So by the time she started high school, she understood what it was to allow God to interrupt her life with an assignment from heaven. At high school, she met one of her first friends who coincidentally was born in the same hospital as her only 6 hours after. This friend of hers had nearly died that night when she was born, but was saved by clever doctors, modern medicine, and the presence of God, though she wouldn't know that until much later. This friend was not raised in a Christian home and had little, if anything, to do with faith. She had recently lost her grandmother to cancer and had begun to query the existence and even the presence of God, but didn't know what to do with these questions. She was from a family who loved her deeply, but who did not believe in the living God. Jess knew none of this, and it didn't matter. She'd already accepted her God-given assignment to help this friend meet the living God, and so invited her to her youth group. Her friend liked the youth group and decided to give church a go. The friend found the church a bit weird, but couldn't ignore the pull on her heart to keep coming back. And then one winter's night in 2004, the friend, alone in her bedroom, reading the Bible she was given at her youth group, gave her life to God. It felt normal and almost unremarkable, but God's Spirit had revealed Jesus to her, and her life would never be the same. She told her parents what she'd done and was met with nervous and well-meaning reactions of, oh, is that because of your God friends? And, oh, that's nice, love. Her first Christmas as a believer, she woke up and awkwardly wished Jesus a happy birthday because that seemed like the kind of right thing to do. Now she followed Jesus. She stayed in close friendship with Jess until Jess experienced some of the sufferings of life that made her question her faith and walk away from Jesus for around 8 years. Despite this, her friend's faith, though strained under the grief of losing the friend who introduced her to the living God, stayed the course. In the friend's young faith, she decided to fast one of her favorite things, chocolate, for 18 months for Jess, who is now far from God. At 16 years old, she felt the unique call of God on her life into the arenas of law and justice. She also met the man who would one day be her husband and partner with her in breaking the generational impact of broken relationships. And who would also partner with her in seeing many led to God. At 17, her parents divorced, and soon after, her mother was diagnosed with cancer, but she remained steady and comforted by her faith. At 18 years old, the friend encountered deliverance from the fear and anxiety that had plagued her mind for years and started the journey of freedom that would one day see freedom for her future children. She also took the first step towards pursuing her calling and doing something she never thought she would be able to do. At 23, the friend was thrust into church leadership and from that day saw many come to know Christ and experience the physical, emotional, and spiritual healing of Jesus. In her late 20s, Jess came back to her faith and started actively pursuing her call to reach people again, as she had done with her friend at 12 years old. At 28, a few weeks before she was about to embark on her next assignment from God, she received a letter from a doctor explaining that although she had a 50% chance of being genetically predisposed to the cancer her mother had endured, the blood results showed that she did not carry the gene. The prayer she had prayed at 17 years old, breaking the curse of cancer over her family, had come to pass. All of this, and so much more, because of one invitation. One invitation by a 12-year-old girl 20 years ago. If you haven't already clocked on, the friend is me. I am the friend. That is my testimony. 20 years ago, a young girl invited me to church and changed the course of my destiny forevermore because I met Jesus. That is the power of God using anyone, a 12-year-old girl, and God doing anything, God reaching people when they weren't even expecting to be found. Here's my contention for us this morning, church. We have assignments from God. We have assignments from God, and we have no idea what those assignments are going to end up doing. We have no idea what the outcome of our obedience is to Jesus. We all have a unique call on our lives. And so often we think about that as, what am I going to do? But we know that scripture says that anything God calls you to do is always about the people in his kingdom. It's whatever you do, whatever profession, vocation you end up in, it is always about God reaching his people through you. In addressing God, David said this: "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." That's quite an amazing scripture, isn't it? And I have often seen it given to people or spoken when things are going wrong. You know, when like you lose the job or you don't get the promotion or things aren't quite working out or you're frustrated with the pace of your life so far and someone says, don't worry, God has it all planned. God's got a plan. You know, that's how we can sort of summarize this scripture. God's got a plan. And I've often seen it given in times of to give comfort. Which it is. It is a comforting scripture. But what if this scripture is also designed to bestow upon us responsibility? Let's look at another scripture. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says this: "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has prepared works for us to do, things for us to do. He's prepared plans, and we should walk in them, right? We should walk in them. God has prepared many, many things to reach many, many people in ways that we cannot even comprehend. And it's our responsibility to decide to walk in them. These verses are promises, but they are also instructions. They are also instructions to us, a responsibility upon us to say, this is God's plan, but we have to choose to partner with God in doing this. I think these scriptures should fuel us every day. Every day, really, when you read something like that and you go, there's a plan for my life that God had written down before I was even born, before anybody knew I ever existed, we should wake up going, what am I going to do today, Lord? How are you going to lead me? How are you going to use me to reach your kingdom? How is your spirit going to use me to reach the people of this world today? But if you're anything like me, I don't wake up like that. I don't think you guys do either. We don't often wake up like that. And it's curious why. When we have these promises from God, when we have this mandate and we have this responsibility from God, you have to wonder why we don't wake up with that same sort of motivation every single day to impact the world around us when we have the kingdom of God living inside of us. It's not just a tick box. It's not just something to do. It's actually a calling on every single one of your lives, on my lives, of every single churchgoer believer in this world. It's a mandate and it's a calling on our lives. Some of us are busy going, what's my calling, Lord? What am I supposed to do with my life? And he says, speak to your neighbor. God will reveal those things. God has got a very important plan. And if his plan is important, he's going to reveal it to you as you pursue him. But the calling that you have every single day is to use your gifts, your capabilities to reach the people for the kingdom of God. But we're not alone. We're not alone in this struggle. And so what we're going to do this morning, church, is we're going to look at three people in the Bible who had this call from God for the sake of other people. And we're going to look at what stopped them from fulfilling this calling. And so the first person we're going to look at today is a man called Eli. Now, Eli was a priest and a judge, and you will find him in the Old Testament. And Eli had a very important call from God on his life, because as a priest in the Old Testament, he was responsible for going to God for the people, right? So it's not like we have now. There was no direct access to God. Eli went before God, before God on behalf of the people, an important calling for the sake of honoring God, but also for serving the people. Now, as Eli was doing this, he had two sons who were described as scoundrels. I don't use that word very often in my day-to-day, though I think I might start to. They were scoundrels. And honestly, I think there are probably worse things we can call them, because these sons, they extorted the offerings that people were giving to God. So one of the responsibilities Eli would have had would have been to manage the whole process of people bringing offerings to God as sacrifices to him. And his sons said, thank you very much for this sacrifice. We will take this bit of the animal that you have come to sacrifice before God. So they were extorting people and taking advantage of them. And not only that, but they were abusing women who were coming to go and meet with God. So heinous crimes they were committing. And Eli saw this. And the Bible tells us that he rebuked them, but he didn't do anything else about it. He didn't do anything else. So he basically went, stop it, boys. Okay, anyway. Right, so Eli has this call. His sons are doing terrible things that he knows about, and Eli doesn't do anything about it. And because of his failure to do anything about it, he ends up walking away from the promise of God. The promise of God that was on his life to serve other people, because he didn't steward it well, he didn't fulfill the call. Who else are we going to look at next? The next person we're going to look at is a man named Gehazi. Okay, honest answer. Who's ever heard of Gehazi here today? Well, yeah, guys, honestly, a bit of an obscure figure in the Bible, but the reason, you'll see why we're going to look at him in the moment. Gehazi was the servant of the prophet Elisha. We've heard of Elisha, right? If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard of Elijah, you've heard of Elisha. Gehazi was part of Elisha's story, and he was a servant to the prophet. So another important job. Whether you're the leader, whether you're the servant, whether you're the first or the second, God's call on your life is to steward that well for the service of other people, right? For the service of his kingdom. And so Gehazi was there to serve Elisha. And what Elisha did, Elisha was carrying out the call of God on his life. And he met a man named Naaman, who had leprosy, and Naaman was a commander in the army. And when Elisha met Naaman, he healed him. There was a healing that took place. God freed him from physical illness in that moment. And Naaman was so grateful. He said, how can I ever repay you? In fact, can I pay you? To which Elisha said, no, not at all. This is a gift for you from God. But Mr. Gehazi thought he knew a little better. And the scripture actually says this. Let me find it a moment. It says, my master was too easy on Naaman, the Aramean, by not accepting from him what he bought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him. You can already tell this is not going in a good direction, because I think we know sometimes in scripture where someone says, I'm going to get money for the kingdom. Often those intentions aren't quite pure. So Gehazi runs after Naaman and says, hey, actually, there's two other people that need some money. And Naaman goes, oh, of course, let me give it to you. And Gehazi takes it for himself, comes back, is confronted by Elisha, who is not very happy. And Gehazi, as you can imagine, stops being the servant of Elisha because of his greed, because of his pride, because of his intention for selfish gain. He ends up walking away from the call of God on his life. And finally, the man who we talked about last week, Judas. Judas, a disciple of Jesus. We get very caught up with Judas and how he betrayed Jesus, and so should we. But Judas was a disciple, and had he not betrayed Jesus, he would have been one of the great saints that built the church. Right? That's where he was heading. He followed Jesus for 3 years, seeing all of the incredible works that Jesus was doing. But again, because of this desire for self, he walks away. He walks away from the calling of God. And my contention for us this morning is that we often have far more in common with these types of figures than we like to admit. God has a calling on your life, but there's something that gets in the way of achieving that calling, of seeing the purpose beyond yourself. And the commonality here is selfishness. Okay, it's all to do with self. Whether you are Judas or Gehazi and you want money for yourself and status for yourself, or whether you're someone like Eli that is actually afraid to confront someone in your life because of the fear of man, because of the idolization of that person over God, these things get in the way of us fulfilling our unique calling on our lives from God, and therefore failing to reach the people that God has called us to reach. Because here's the thing, reaching people is an entirely selfless act that's nearly always hijacked by selfishness. You think about it. When you think about reaching people, it's inconvenient. There are things that get in the way. Are you afraid of your reputation, how it's going to impact your relationship with that person? Reaching people is a selfless thing to do because it's giving. It's sharing the good news that God has given us, the good news of Jesus. But it's selfless to give it away because it interrupts your life. It interrupts your convenience. It interrupts your comfort. But it is your calling. It is your calling to do that. And it probably won't sound like exploiting people or extorting people like Eli's sons did. It probably won't sound like betrayal, like Judas' story is, but it might sound like, I don't really have time. It might sound like, I've got too much to do. It might sound like, that's not my call to reach that person. It might sound like, I don't necessarily have the words or the ability to do that. Or it might even just sound like a tumbleweed in your head because you're not even thinking about it, right? For many of us, we're not even thinking about it day in, day out, that what God has given us has to be shared. It has to be shared. And I know this is confronting, because when I was preparing this word, I was also confronted. But there's something God wants to do in us to make us realize the calling on your life. That God, before you were even born, wrote down in a book, this person is going to reach this person. This person is going to share the good news with this person. He wrote it down and he's counting on us. He's trusting us to fulfill that plan that he has. These excuses in us are so often accepted as normal. Like, that's just life. Life gets in the way. But it's actually an absence of the awareness of God's Spirit within us. This isn't just this to-do list, something I should do as part of being a Christian. It's actually, if we don't feel this, and I'm talking to myself as much as anybody else, if we don't feel this, we are stepping away from the awareness of God's presence within us. Because if you have been struggling with this, you know, we are week 6 now of this Come and See series. We have been talking about reaching people with the love of God for 6 weeks here. And if you have not found something to be moved within your heart, may I suggest that we've perhaps been trying to do it in our own strength rather than through the Spirit of God. Because the same Spirit that prompts you to reach someone is the same Spirit that prompts them to reach God. It starts with the Spirit and it ends with the Spirit. That is how we reach people. We don't do it as a vocation or a job. We do it because of the overflow of the Spirit within us. And so if you are struggling with this, if you are saying, God, this isn't me, this is so uncomfortable, go to the Father. We've got to go to the Father for the strength to reach the people that he wants us to reach. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit, is love. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love is not selfish. What does that mean? Well, then love has to be shared. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it says this: no one can say Jesus is Lord without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's amazing. That's amazing. This isn't just a job. This isn't a duty. This is the Spirit of God breaking out in you and moving through you to somebody else. It's God's job to reveal himself to that person. We are just a vessel. We are just a vessel. It starts in the Spirit and it ends with the Spirit. And if you have been in the presence of God's Spirit, you, one of the fruits is going to be love. It's going to be selflessness. It's going to be kindness. We see that it's in Scripture. It has to be shared. And then God himself reveals Jesus to the person. It's the Spirit. We've got to get into the presence of the Spirit of God. If you've been going through this life thinking, I should, but I don't know how, and I can't, and I know it's a calling on my life, but it feels like a burden, allow the Spirit to lift that from you. I really believe the Spirit of God wants to come today to lift any burden that you have felt. I really believe that the Spirit of God wants to come today to awaken compassion in your heart, kindness in your heart, love in your heart, to see a world around us impacted by the kingdom of God. Reaching people is a byproduct of proximity to God. If you've been in God's presence, you're not going to keep that to yourself. It's the way we are designed. It's the way we are created. If you have been in God's presence, a byproduct is reaching people. We see that scattered throughout Scripture. You cannot help, like Josh was talking about last week, you cannot help but share. You cannot help but show. You cannot help but teach others the same thing that you have been shown. Interestingly, the other commonality between these three figures we've just looked at, Eli, Gehazi, and Judas, the other common thing they have in their stories is that when they walked away from their calling, God replaced them. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to tell God why he had to replace me. I don't want to live with that on my conscience, that I was the person, I should have been the person to reach, to teach, to show kindness and love and generosity, but I backed off
because of my own selfishness. I don't want to be the one to tell God, because God's plans will happen, right? God is sovereign. God will see his kingdom come one way or another. I don't want to be replaced. I don't want to be replaced. That's not talking about us being discarded by God. God's grace and his mercy are far bigger than we could ever comprehend. But there is something about the unique calling God has on our lives, and how when we don't step up to the plate, God says, okay, I need this done, so I'm going to choose someone else. You are God's first choice for reaching the people in your world. You are God's first choice. We walk around sometimes thinking, someone else will do it, I guess. Someone else. The band can come up now, by the way. Someone else can do it. But you are God's first choice. I want you to imagine with me, God, before you were ever even born, writing in his book, Christine, she is going to reach her friend. And he did with me. Jess, she is going to reach her friend Meg. And we have no idea the ripple effects from that one decision. I just told you a testimony that spanned 20 years from the first invite. We have to accept within ourselves that we cannot know every possibility, every eventuality that will happen. God can do incredible things from one small act. One small act of reaching out. And hear this today, church. If you hear nothing else when you walk out of these doors today, you are God's first choice for reaching your world. You are God's first choice for reaching your parents, reaching your friends, reaching your family members, reaching your colleagues, reaching your neighbors. You are God's first choice. There's a mandate on you. There's a calling. But you don't do it alone. You do it with the empowerment of the presence of God. You do it with the Spirit of Jesus right next to you, so that that person hears not just your words, but the words of our Father, the words of God. Just like my friend Jess, you could be the instigator of a whole shift in a generation, a whole shift in a church, a whole shift in so many things that we can't even imagine. But we've got to be moved by the Spirit. We've got to be moved by the Spirit to do that. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to spend another bit of time worshiping God. And what I want you to do, if you are a believer in this place, and you know that God needs to shift something in you, I want you to spend time in the presence of God. I want you to ask the Spirit of God to move you. Because without that, it's just us trying to make stuff work on our own, in our own strength. And we know that never goes well, right? I want the Spirit of God to fill you up today. I want you to go out overflowing with the Spirit of God, because that's how we see God's kingdom come. Because not only does he change you, he purifies you, he sanctifies you, he meets your needs in the midst of his presence, but he also fills you up to go out. And so if you need a touch of the Spirit this morning, if you're a believer here today, you go, I need a touch of the Spirit. Even if you're not a believer here today and you go, I need some of God's presence, you better stand up. I want to invite you to stand with me. If you want a touch of God's presence, yeah, you can do that now. If you need to be filled up by God's presence today. Because next week we are believing that more people are going to join us in this gathering. More people are going to come and experience the healing, transformative presence of God. And he's going to do it. I fully believe he's going to do it. But we get to be a part of the plan. God's chosen you. He's called you. He's destined you to be a part of this plan. And we need to be filled up by the Spirit to do it.